Welcome to Worker Movement, a podcast dedicated to the working class, a podcast dedicated to raising class consciousness. This podcast is for you, for us, for the worker.
We've talked about on previous episodes this tick-tock or the pendulum swinging between the Republicans and the Democrats. And the pattern we've presented is that the Republicans typically fuck up the economic system on behalf of capitalism. They ensure that the ruling class is able to exploit, perhaps to a greater degree than the system would otherwise allow. And then once they've fucked up, the Democrats have to come in and restore order. And right now, what restore order means is getting everybody back to work. But one of the complicating factors to this is that the reason for the system being perturbed is COVID, but that's an external stimulus. The Republicans did not create COVID, we think, to benefit the ruling class. In fact, it was a great inconvenience to the ruling class, and the Republicans basically went about trying to make lemonade from lemons. They did the PPP loans. You have this massive bailout. You have massive inflation so that corporations can absorb debt through inflation, all that good stuff. But the situation we're currently in, the Democrats in power, and their core competency being we need to get everybody back to work, is the exact opposite of what the COVID-created situation requires, which is long-term planning and actually helping people, which capitalism is not equipped to handle.
I'm glad that you brought it in this context because, again, before COVID, a lot of what we saw from the system has been under capitalism. Again, the Republicans fuck up the world, and we mean basically create chaos in the markets because it's all through exploitation, right? People have tried to call it disaster capitalism or something, in which they only see half of the issue. And half of the issue is that the capitalists come in, the Republicans, they do what the capitalists want, the Democrats sit by on their hands, feigning, you know, anger for what's going on. The economy sort of collapses in a way that we expect in the cycle. And then Democrats come in and with all their platitudes, and they decide that they're going to help the worker again. And by help, we mean basically just restore some of what was taken from them. And the point we're making here with COVID is that during the first term of Trump, because we have no idea what 2024 is going to bring, the Republicans actually helped out the worker in the weirdest way. They gave the PPP loan so Tom Brady's business wouldn't go under. But they did, with the help of Bernie Sanders, push through basically extended unemployment benefits. And they had an eviction moratorium. Now, you might not think that's a big deal, but it did actually prevent a lot of people from losing their house and or their place to live. And it did give them a reason not to have to go to work and get COVID. The issue now is the Democrats really don't know how to get people back to work because the traditional methods that they did, which was, you know, like better worker rights, or we're going to give you tax breaks, or fight back on this, or give you better education, or all the ways they try to tamp the system down and rein in the free market, don't really exist this time.
So let's just quick cover the last three cycles of this pattern. In 2000, 2001, you had the basically 9/11, you had the dot-com bubble bursting. There were some shenanigans, but it perhaps wasn't as bad as the next cycle, which was 2008, which you saw the complete deregulation of basically housing derivatives lead to a massive failure of the economic system. Bush caused, Obama came in and fixed it with dumb regulatory
platitudes.
Stuff like cash for clunkers and stupid shit like that. And the 2008 failure was really a ramification of what happened in the mid-1990s with the repeal of Glass-Steagall. It was a long time coming and it finally manifested, but it fit nicely into this pattern of Republicans fuck shit up and the Dems fix it. Then the third cycle recently is COVID, where Trump was in power during COVID and therefore Trump got blamed for all of it. And the Dems are now tasked to fix it. And they're incapable. Like you said, you have the eviction moratorium expired, extended unemployment is expiring. Everybody has to go back to work because they have no other recourse. And school is starting in most states around the 1st of September. Some are earlier, some are later. Florida already started. Some of the northern states haven't started yet. But it's a total shit show, and the Dems seem incapable of coming up with some coherent plan that's not going to, number one, fucking kill people, and number two, get the economy back.
Well, I don't understand what the Dems are doing, because before they always wanted to flex, according to Republicans, you know, their federalistic muscles, right?
We got big government.
Yeah, big government's going to come take X, Y, and Z. It's like, well, okay, let big government come take them. So the eviction moratorium we talked about last episode, where the Supreme Court came in and fucked them all over on the thing that Trump did, but then they haven't done anything since, right? I don't even understand what the Democrats are doing right now, besides the fact that they actually don't know how to win. And it has to go back to this idea of this cycle. The Dems come in to attempt to get the workers back, but in this case, like you said earlier, getting workers back to work means death for a majority of the workers that go back, or at least the fear of death.
So let's look at this return to normal at the most basic level, which is all the kids going back to school. In what logical situation does the entire United States having all kids go back to school because it's safe make any sense? How is that good? How is that a good return to normal?
Let's play devil's advocate here. Let's say that they really cared about the kids, okay?
Let's say the Democrats cared about the kids.
So you had the mental health issue, right? Okay. So you want the kids to at least have other playmates in a mixture of outside the house. Okay, that's one argument. The other one is that not everybody has access to technology, okay? And maybe we have people who don't have access to food. But I don't see any other reason why you send anybody back to school besides you want to enable individuals to go back to work. Not remotely, but in person. So the one side, yeah, you care about the kids, but in what context? Because we go back and think about the rules. The CDC just says, oh, your county looks like this color, and the school districts go, if we're in this color, we're going to have to wear masks. Instead of the Department of Education saying, in order for your county or school district to get any funding from the federal government, you must have these XYZ things in place. If they're not doing that, that's what they should be doing, right? You have to have barriers in place. You must social distance. You must wear a mask, dot, 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 dot. And we have to have an independent auditor come in from every other county to double check that your standards are in there. Just like you do OSHA, just like you do the health department.
And they already have the rights and the authority to do this because we've seen it happen in Florida where some of the school boards have basically overridden the mask mandate requirement that the state has said they can't do. So DeSantis has basically said you can't have mask mandates. Local school boards in Florida have said we can, and the Department of Education at the federal level has said that's fine. We're going to keep funding you even if you have mask mandates. So they could invert that and say if you don't follow these protocols, you're not getting funding. And they could even go one step further and say, well, if you're in the green county, you get X. And if you're in the red county, we are going to palletize a box of laptops for fucking everybody in your school district and send it to every kid. Oh, and by the way, we're mandating that AT&T and Verizon clip out this section from their public spectrum and provide Wi-Fi on it so that literally everybody in your area has access to educational opportunities because you now have the internet via public Wi-Fi and you have a computer that allows you to do remote learning. That's caring about kids.
That's caring about kids, and ding, 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 it tells you why we are tankies and why we hate neoliberalism. Because the central authority doesn't act like a central authority, and you rely on this ragtag bunch of providers to do everything for you, you actually can't respond to a crisis. It's been 18 months, right?
Yes.
So I don't understand why it takes 18 months to respond to this crisis. I can tell you this at work. When we have a supplier issue, we are responding within like 18 hours. Like literally for a global company. Like it's not like, oh, it's going to take, you know, 6 months to get this place. It's like, no, all hands on deck. Let's get the shit figured out and let's roll. I don't understand how it takes 18 months and we have no mandates in anywhere.
And I also don't understand why there was remote learning last school year and there isn't now. Nothing has changed. And arguably, you've had more time to prepare to do distance learning competently, because that's one of the big complaints about last year's school year is that distance learning was hard and challenging and whatever. And it's like, well, it should have gone better than the previous school cycle that was around March when it went on instant lockdown and literally nobody had any amount of time to prepare for it. But now you've had an entire school year and then another summer basically to prepare, and the reaction is still just mash all the kids back into school because the adults need to work.
Not only the adults need to, I guess, quote unquote, work, you've seen corporations pivoting from remote work to work in person. So it almost feels like it's orchestrated, right? That the pressures that the Chamber of Commerce is communicating to the local governments is feeding its way down from corporations who don't want to pay for remote workers. remember, the Chamber of Commerce is the mouthpiece for corporate America at the local level, and they are a dangerous organization.
So your point about having basically corporate jobs, white-collar jobs, returning to in-person work also functionally makes no sense, both from a health perspective and from just a profit model perspective. Why would these large corporations want to incur the overhead of having people in person when they could incur basically no overhead and have them work remotely? But it's done under this, oh, we have to have people present so they can collaborate. And it's like, that's not a thing that is tied to profits. Collaboration is not required the way they think it is.
There is only one scenario that I can think of that makes in-person like working more efficient. And that's when it's called management by walking around. If you don't know what it is, it's called management by walking around. It's a literal thing that people do. It's called MBWA, two managers spending some part of their day listening to problems and ideas of their staff while wandering around an office or plant. But guess what? It's all bullshit. It means micromanager in the white-collar rule. In a plant, it's different. The plant manager should walk the line to see what's going on. But in white-collar jobs, when you're doing the same, like, you know, analysis every day, like, your manager doesn't need to be walking around looking over your shoulder.
They arguably don't need to exist.
No, flatten it out, man. You flatten any org, you can get more efficient. Yeah, your manager has to do more, but come on, that's what they're there for. Their job is to manage resources, not to, like, go take a shit and play solitaire on their phone all day long.
But that would be a return to normal. Another complicating factor in the Democrats' pursuits of doing anything competent is the addition of two new mutants. You have the Mew mutant, which I don't know if there are any cool nicknames for that.
I was calling it Mutang, like Wu-Tang. Mew! Tang, Moo, Tang, Tang. I love it.
I've been calling it the Moo variant because apparently people have difficulty understanding that it's Mew, not Moo. But so it's the cow variant in my mind. But we'll move on. And then you have the new South African variant, the C.1.2 variant, which is part of the new C lineage that nobody knows fucking anything about.
Now I have heard, and this is just doctors telling me through publications, I mean, not media, not the fake media telling me this. This is that I think the Mu variant is in most states. So it's already spreading. It's already predominantly, you know, growing. Does it really matter what variant's hitting us from an actual logistics standpoint?
And I would argue no, because there appears to be some sort of inflection point where this doesn't matter.
I feel the same way. Like, everybody talks about herd immunity, in which you have to get to a certain level in order for people to get to the herd immunity, right? 80% or 90% based on the R value. But there's actually this metastable requirement, this inversion point, in which there has to be enough people who already have it in the population for it to spread fast enough for everybody to get to that immunity spot. And that's where these super spreader events, these football games, all of these inversion points, like all of these like giant super spreader events, means that we probably are already at this tipping point in which we're going to get to herd immunity no matter what happens. You're going to see more and more people getting sick and getting COVID. We're going to see more and more people not necessarily dying because they got vaccinations, but being sick and eating up healthcare because people are going to, quote unquote, return back to normal. So everything the Dems are doing is getting you prepared to be part of the herd, right? Welcome to the herd. You're going to get it no matter what you do. Everything the Republicans are doing, preparing their entire population to become part of the herd. Both parties are actually gearing everybody up to have COVID to return back to normal.
And this applies to the Delta variant or the Mu variant or the Mu variant or the Mutang variant or the South African variant or the C.1.2 variant.
Let's call it the Musk variant. The South African variant.
The Musk.
The Musk variant.
Because each one of these new variants is going to contribute to new cases that spread by having an R value that is above 1. And that seems to be the pattern that we've been consistently in. So whether it's vanilla COVID, where it spreads and you have a huge wave where 4,000 people die every day in the United States, or you have the Delta variant, which has an R value over 1 and is quickly growing and having just as many cases as we saw in last January, even though there's vaccines, partially vaccine resistant. Let's say Delta goes away, there'll be another variant that takes its place because nobody wants to do anything to prevent this inflection point. So what's the best way to describe what an inflection point is? So let's say you're playing Monopoly and you're circling the board and you're one of the people left and the other person has a bunch of houses and hotels and you've basically lost, but you haven't lost yet. You're still rolling the dice and hopping around the board, hoping that you land on the railroads because for some reason you bought all the railroads or something. And you can play this game indefinitely. Statistically, that's not going to happen. Just like statistically, everybody is going to get COVID, whether you're vaccinated or not, because the U.S.'s response is basically non-existent. Who gives a fuck? Let's mash kids back to school. Let's mash people back to work, even though there's really no reason to do so.
It's again, when I said earlier about how the right and the left are both preparing for everybody to get COVID, the right seems to be hell-bent on getting COVID to just prove that they can get it and not die. Very acute violence mindset, right? I don't care if the people around me die from it. I'm not getting the vaccine. Go fuck yourself. I'm stronger than the viruses. The left, we don't call them the left. We'll call them the shit-lib, you know, neoconservative, neoliberal Democrats.
The brunch crowd.
Yeah, the brunch crowd. The Tesla drivers. They are gearing everybody up to basically get the vaccination so that when you get sick, but you don't die necessarily from it. And that's the chronic violent piece of it. Go back to school. You had the vaccination. The children aren't going to die at the same rate. So just get sick and work through it like you would chicken pox. And everything go back to normal, just like the flu. Two very different approaches. But guess what they do? They intersect at the same point. Everybody gets part of the herd, man. And we say it that way because that's what you're doing. You're forcing everybody to get herd immunity by basically creating this idea that you can get it and either die or not die, but you're still going to get it. And it's just, it's so weird. And the media plays right into it. You have one side that's saying, take ivermectin. One side saying, don't take ivermectin and get the vaccination. But at the end of the day, it's like God's plan. Darwin's will on what happens here.
The media framing around getting the vaccine and then not wearing a mask or doing any social distancing measures is just fascinating because it takes a group of people that are receptive to science and then conditions them to not care about science because they've already cared about science, I guess. If you look at the football games, the college football games that occurred this last weekend, and you're seeing stadiums with literally 100,000 people, how many masks did you see in any of them?
Well, none, because how do you eat a hot dog if you have a mask on?
Right. How do you have 8 beers and like spill it on the guy in front of you?
Yeah, how do you get fucking Suns and 4? Like, that happened, just so you guys know, Suns and 4, this year. Go look at that video.
And nobody had a mask on.
Nobody had a mask on, right? And arguably, half the population there is probably vaccinated.
But they're not immune. Like, they are not magically immune because the viral load will still get you even if you're vaccinated. Yep. So this messaging around, you need to get the vaccine and then you're perfectly fine, is false. You need to get the vaccine and then wear a mask and then social distance. And then you're less likely to get it and spread it to everybody else. But that messaging seems to be incongruent with the Democratic Party's desire to just smash everybody back to work as quickly as possible. And it also doesn't jive with the Republican Party's apparent interest in just not giving a fuck about it at all and then having everybody get sick. And if you live, you live. And if you die, you die. Who cares?
It's almost like corporate messaging here.
You're messaging to your party of interest.
Get your vaccine, don't wear a mask. People here don't wear a mask, because I don't have to, right? And other people here get a vaccine, then I'm safe. And if you think about it from a corporate standpoint, a corporation wants you to go out and spend money, but they don't want you to die because you won't shop there anymore. You spend your money, right? So why would a football stadium, baseball stadium, basketball stadium not want you to wear a mask? Because then you're less likely to go buy food and go there and be comfortable. So they say you have to have a vaccination, but we know that the vaccination doesn't work. Fundamentally, does not work. It works by not killing you, by you dying from COVID, but we know that the viral loads are the same. You still shed the virus. You still get sick.
It's not sterilizing immunity.
It's not like polio immunity.
There are a number of U.S. institutions that are also contributing to this basically flawed messaging about how you can actually stay safe. So one of these major institutions is the CDC. Where their express intent is supposed to be the Centers for Disease Control. It's right in their name. They should be attempting to control disease.
Are you seriously saying that they essentially plan disease control?
That is the intent of the institution. But what they appear to be planning is that everybody will get it in a way that does not exceed healthcare utilization resources.
Do you remember when they came out and their brilliant plan was flattening the curve?
When we flattened the curve, and now we're at the point where it's like, ooh, we did it too flat, but now we're not making money or something, so we need to like inflate the curve or something.
The major issues with COVID and any type of response like this is COVID is a new disease, so everybody says it's unknown. That's fine. Okay. That's true. It's unknown. But like any other thing in the world, you have scientists and engineers that are able to study this and apply to it some methodology to stop it, right? This isn't the first time we've had disease issues in the entire world.
No, we had the Spanish flu in the early 1900s, and it only died because it mutated in something so deadly that it couldn't continue replicating.
Which is, you know, arguably what COVID might do.
Could happen. We don't know. But along the way, the CDC is bungling the messaging about how to stay safe to the greatest fucking extent possible.
So it's wear a mask, don't wear a mask. It's social distance, don't social distance. It's get the vaccine, now you need a booster, right? And then you got a bunch of people who don't trust the CDC because they keep changing the messaging saying, well, I've taken ivermectin and I didn't die.
And that's FDA approved or whatever the fuck for horses.
You weren't going to die anyways. That's why you could take ivermectin because you were conscious enough to go buy it, right? I mean, that's the part that's fucking crazy to me. It's like, you just took a dewormer for... A dewormer is not the same thing as an antiviral. Quite literally different things. Like, it's designed to go into the muscle and kill the actual worm and the larva in the muscle of a horse. That's completely different than going into your lungs and clearing out the viral load. But yeah, people don't trust the CDC because they keep changing the messaging. Again, centrally planned resources means you have a coherent message. Fauci was so terrible, I would have fired him. Like,
we advocated to fire him, like, literally 18 months ago.
Yeah, he was terrible. Now, Trump wanted to fire him for political reasons. We wanted to fire him because he was absolute dog ass. Terrible. Like, no, there's no such thing as returning back to normal until we get this thing done and everybody gets a shot in their arm, I guess. Or everybody gets it. So welcome to the herd, guys.
For future episodes and to learn more about the worker movement, join us at workermovement.com.